אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Former Labour leader Yitzhak Bougie Herzog took office on Wednesday as Israel's 11th president, succeeding Reuven Rivlin. Herzog took his oath of office at a festive ceremony in the Knesset to cries of "Long live the president." He began his 7-year term with a pledge to serve as a president for all and work to tone down the country's divisive rhetoric. In his inauguration speech, the new president warned that Israel's common ethos and shared values are more fragile than ever. Herzog was sworn in on a 107-year-old Bible that has a long history in the family, the same one that his father, Chaim Herzog, used when he was sworn in as president in 1983. The Bible survived both world wars and was given to his grandmother by her father on the eve of her wedding. The ceremony also included a blowing of shofars, and the president received a standing ovation following his speech. Foreign Minister Yair Lapid met with his Jordanian counterpart, Ayman Safadi, on Thursday on the Jordanian side of the Allenby Bridge crossing. The two announced a deal for Israel to supply Jordan with 50 million cubic meters of water as it battles a severe drought. It was then revealed that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and Jordanian King Abdullah II met in secret the previous week at the Crown Palace in Amman in the first summit between the country's leaders in over 3 years. Bennett travelled to meet Abdullah a day after he spoke with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Abdullah had refused to meet with former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whom he strongly disliked, since 2018. Over those years, Jordan has cut off Israeli access to two farming enclaves leased as part of the 1994 peace deal between the two countries and has been a leading voice against Israeli actions on the Temple Mount. Earlier this year, tensions reached a peak after Amman delayed a plane that was slated to bring Netanyahu to the United Arab Emirates, ostensibly in response to Jordan Crown Prince Hussein scotching a trip to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem due to disagreement over security arrangements. The then Prime Minister, who was forced to cancel his trip to Abu Dhabi, attempted to shut down Israeli airspace to Jordanian flights in revenge. Israeli security forces foiled an attempt to smuggle dozens of weapons from Lebanon into northern Israel overnight on Friday, with police and the Israeli Defense Forces announcing yesterday that they are investigating whether it was carried out with the help of Hezbollah. Police said the 43 weapons and ammunition seized were worth 2.7 million shekel, the largest stash of weapons intercepted in recent years. Sheikh Yusuf Albaz, 63, a Lod imam, was charged on Thursday with incitement in connection with social media posts encouraging violence against police and threatening the city's deputy mayor. In one clip, Albaz shared from the Australian horror movie Wolf Creek, where a man is shown murdering a traffic police officers after getting a ticket. Albaz wrote, "The best way to deal with injustice." US President Joe Biden leveled rare criticism at Israel for raising the home of a Palestinian American suspected in a deadly West Bank shooting attack. On Thursday morning, the IDF completed the demolition of the West Bank family home of Muntasir Shalabi, who allegedly shot dead Israeli student Yehuda Guetta, aged 19, in May. In a busy overnight Knesset session Tuesday to Wednesday, MKs approved a series of measures aimed at shoring up the new coalition. On Monday, the coalition was dealt a major blow by the Knesset failing to approve an extension of the contentious Palestinian Family Reunification Bill. The bill failed because of the defection of Yamina MK Amichai Shikli. On Tuesday night, it succeeded in passing 3 key laws that could facilitate the work of its 61 MKs officially in the coalition. In the most significant triumph of the night, Knesset members voted to extend the deadline for the government to pass a budget, giving it 3 months from the beginning of the budget year or 145 days from the date of formation of the government, whichever is later. On Friday, it was reported that the coalition is holding talks with the Arab Majority Joint List to secure its safety net support for the state budget should the government not have enough votes to pass it in the Knesset. On Wednesday, Finance Minister Avigdor Lieberman announced that from the coming school year, yeshiva students who do not work would not be eligible for subsidized supervised daycare for their children up to the age of three. The decision caused outrage in the ultra-Orthodox community and saw waves of anger directed towards Lieberman. Lieberman's decision hit some 20,000 ultra-Orthodox families. The ultra-Orthodox claim that the move will ultimately cost the state more money. The Delta variant of COVID-19 is spreading fast in Israel, with 450 new cases confirmed on Thursday and a total of 3,691 people infected. The number of COVID-positive Israelis in hospital has risen from 54 to 70. The number of patients in serious condition has grown from 26 to 39, and Israel reported two coronavirus deaths on Thursday, the first pandemic fatalities in more than 2 weeks. Mobile vaccination units arrived on Israel's beaches yesterday, hours ahead of the deadline for teens to get their first doses of Pfizer coronavirus as the vaccination date loomed. Children aged 12 to 15 who did not get their first dose yesterday will not be able to get their second dose 3 weeks later and will be forced to wait until the next Pfizer batch arrives. Israeli courts have meanwhile ruled that minor children cannot be stopped from getting vaccinated against COVID-19 if only one of their parents objects. 29% of the 12 to 15 age group have been vaccinated, along with some 11% who've contracted COVID-19 and recovered. This brings the immunity rate to about 40%, below the 50% the health ministry had hoped for. 700,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine that are due to expire in 3 weeks were sent to Seoul on Tuesday afternoon as part of a deal between Israel and South Korea that will see the latter send fresh vaccines in exchange later in the year. The health ministry announced on Friday that all travellers, including those vaccinated and recovered from COVID-19, would be required to self-isolate for up to 24 hours on arrival to the country. Those returning from 16 countries deemed to have high rates of infection will be required to fully self-isolate for 14 days or 10 days with two negative tests. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett announced on Friday that he wants to establish a coronavirus vaccine plant in Israel, pending government approval. Bennett said in a statement, "We work around the clock in a variety of ways to protect the health of Israeli citizens. The ability to self-produce vaccines for Israel can be dramatic, especially with a forward-looking view of future epidemics." 2 weeks before the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony, a security guard to the Israeli delegation who has been vaccinated was found to be infected with COVID-19. The other security staff who were with the infected guard in the Olympic Village in Japan will have to quarantine for 14 days. The guard had not come in contact with any athletes from Israel or other countries, as they are only permitted to enter the village 5 days before the start of the Games. And jellyfish have returned to Israel's beaches, as they do every summer, making bathing in the sea less than pleasurable. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.